I thought we'd start talking today a little about predestination and what the Bible has to say about it. So if we could look in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, so that is talking about God. God did foreknow. He had foreknowledge. He knew ahead of time. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's a precious thought, isn't it? That we, as believers, are predestined to eventually be conformed to the image of his Son. That means whatever the Son has, we have. Let me go on. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, I came out of a denominational system partly because of this very thing, because of trying to patch together doctrines from things that are found in the Bible, yes, but they're not. They were trying to make things fit without rightly dividing. And there's no need to patch things together when you do rightly divide the word of truth. So what we need to do is to not go beyond what is written in the Bible, to not put our own assumptions in there. It says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And I used to think, what about the ones that he didn't foreknow? If they chose to believe the gospel without having been foreknown or predestinated, maybe they also have a chance to still be saved. You know, well, I'm still thinking in that, you know, at that time I would have still been thinking in that mindset that God decides who's going to be saved and who's not, and then, you know, he empowers you to believe or whatever. That's a slam at the sovereignty of God. If there, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about the sovereignty of God. That's not a Bible phrase, but that's the phrase they use, and yet they misapply it. They misdefine it. God doesn't choose who's going to hell, but just by the fiat of God, and you know, I think I'll send him there and him here. No. I don't mean to plant doubts or ideas in your heads. We'll get into who it was that God foreknew in a few verses here. But the point is that God meant what he said in the Bible, whom he did foreknow. If that's everybody, then that is everybody. But it doesn't mean... Well, let's go on. It only says that he foreknew the ones that respond with faith, trusting the gospel of salvation. Now, you know, if it doesn't say anything about the rest of the people, we don't want to add that in. So, you know, I'm not going to teach it like it's doctrine if I have an opinion about the rest of them. How did God predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his Son? There are some steps revealed in between the predestinating of us and the conforming of us, the finished product. And we get that in the next verse. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So he foreknew, then he predestinated, then he called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Well, we know from other scriptures there's a step between those two, isn't there? Between being called and being justified. In between being called and being justified, there is a step to be considered. After you're called and before you're justified, God foreknew those whose response would be a response of faith. Faith is in there between being called, then you believe, then you're justified by faith. So, when God calls us by the gospel, He does justify everyone. Well, everyone that believes it. Does he justify everyone that hears the gospel? He justifies those that believe the gospel. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, those that believe the gospel are justified. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The ones that God foreknew would believe the gospel, he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's the believer's destiny. In the future, we're on our way, and God sees to it. You know, what he began in us, he will continue until the day of Christ. That good thing. Those that choose not to believe the gospel remain separated from God and from his life. God justifies those who have faith in or believe the gospel. So after God calls us and before he justifies us, we must respond by believing the gospel. To trust God to save us by Christ having died for our sins. In this case, for my sins. Each person's own individual sins. God had called the ones that he predestinated. God had predestinated the ones that he foreknew would receive his call. So God justified the ones that he called, having called those he foreknew would respond to the with faith by believing the gospel of salvation, being the call of salvation. When you hear the gospel, God is calling you to believe it, to be saved. Again, Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, that's past tense, isn't it? That means it's something that's already done, and I believe that's connected with, I don't have it in my verse list. Hold on, let me just pull it up here. I believe that's connected, talking about the same thing as this and as, well, let me read it. And hath raised us, talking about believers, us as believers, hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I can see with my physical eyes that are still here on earth, I can see my hands and the rest of my body, that my body is not up in heavenly places, but my spirit is. For this to be correct, he hath raised us up. It's something he's already done, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our spirit is in heaven, is in heavenly places. And look what we're doing there. It's what's often revealed or told, that what we're going to be doing in the future after the catching up of the body of Christ. But this says it's now. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against them. Now, that's present tense. So be in the battle, you know, be aware. We're not just pawns waiting to get played, getting to be in the picture in the future. We're in the picture right now. We're in the battle. In our flesh, we're not yet glorified. For instance, we cannot walk through walls. We do not yet have a spiritual body, the spiritual body described in 1 Corinthians 15. In the 40s there somewhere it talks about it, 44 or 48, I forget exactly where, somewhere in there, 47 maybe. We don't yet have a spiritual body. In the future, when we are changed, we will have a body that is a spiritual body. not flesh and blood body, but it will be a body. We will have a body that is governed by our spirit. And that's our future destiny, to be glorified. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. It takes a while to get past that, doesn't it? I mean, God is for you. God is for me. He's on our side. He's making a way for us, coaching us, pulling us ahead. I should be hearing cheers of joy, relief, and thankfulness that God is not mad at us. God is for us. So, how could God foreknow that I will believe the gospel when I hear it? Well, let's look back in Isaiah. And if somebody could post, thank you for posting these other verses. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 basically. For my thoughts, this is God talking to Isaiah, talking to Israel, my thoughts, and we're talking about foreknowing, aren't we? God's knowing things, his thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And let's apply what we just saw in Romans 8:29 to Isaiah 55:8. What are God's thoughts? In Romans 8:29, God's thoughts were about whom he did foreknow. And in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. We must realize that God can direct things without our approval. God can do things for our good that are beyond our understanding. Verse 9 in Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Always remember that, especially when you're reading the Bible. Don't try to reason things out and say, this must mean this. He must be, just believe the words on the page. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And believe that he meant what he said. We can't go into a debate with God. We can't outthink God or outsmart God. We don't have the equipment to do that. God is right, period. God's thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. Unless God tells us, tells us in the Bible, we can't figure it out what God is doing unless he tells us again. So, God, he's out of our league. It's like a different category. He's above us. So, don't ever think you can outreason God or match wits with God or force God to do something you want. If you think that way, you have much too low an opinion of God. Your opinion of God is insufficient. It's not coming up to what God is. If you're thinking that you can make God do something or outsmart God. Since God already told us in the Bible that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, then we don't have to understand. We just have to believe. That's the point. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe it. So make sure that you're believing what is actually in the Bible, not just a cliche or a fable or some doctrinal construct that somebody developed about a passage of scripture that's in the back of your mind. We used to say tapes playing in the back of your mind, but we don't have tapes anymore. CDs playing, maybe. So, but God already loves you more than you love yourself. Trust what he says. All of that is to show that God did foreknow, and he acts on his foreknowledge. Let's say that you get married and you have a child, and 20 years from now that child receives the call the gospel that Christ died for all of that child's sins to save him. Well, before God even created the earth, he foreknew that your child would believe the gospel of salvation. You know, God knew it back then, and you don't even know it today, that your child, that you're going to have a child, and in 20 years he's going to believe. Before creation, God foreknew all the way into the future. God foreknew, and on that basis, he predestinated those who would believe to be called by the gospel, and that they would believe that, you know, that's what he already foreknew, that they would believe. That's why he called them, and that they would be justified and glorified, and that is what predestination is. So when somebody comes along and cuts that short and says that God predestinates who will be saved and who will be lost, well, that's simply just a lack of study. For their good, we need to have studied enough to know that there is a step before he predestinates us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that early step is that God foreknew what our choice would be when we hear the gospel of salvation. Having studied enough to know those things is what Ephesians 6:15 calls having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel, and that's this wrestle that we're in, this wrestling against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's part of the battle, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Get ready. Keep studying. But it's our choice. It's our free will to make that choice. And God foreknows ahead of time what each one of us is going to choose. Have you seen a mouse maze? You know, the little maze that you put a mouse through, and it's a zigzag course, and at the end of the course, they put a little pellet of food or sugar or something that the mouse wants to go get. And they put the mouse in at the beginning, and he bumps his way back and forth until he finds the food. And after repeating that several times, the mouse can go directly to the food. Unbeknownst to the mouse, though, you, a higher species, you're standing there above it, watching the mouse, you know, as he makes choices and travels through that maze. Well, to some extent, I mean, you can't carry it over completely, but to some extent, that's the way God is with us. Of course, there's some limitations to that example. And I want to welcome all to the room. God knows how to direct us by his scriptures. And it's not a matter of opening up, oh, there's God's instruction for today. You need to be regular with it in a consecutive study of the scriptures for your own benefit. You know, it depends on you, not somebody, you know, forcing you or necktying you into it or making you feel guilty if you don't do it or whatever. It's a matter of you choosing to prepare yourself, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he knows what the future is. God knows what our choices will be, and he can tell what we should do. We need to listen to God in the Bible. When he gives us instructions about how to live in the portions of the Bible that are to us by Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, we need to listen. God knows ahead of time where the end is. And from the beginning, he knew the end, the outcome. And that's another scripture. I think that's in Isaiah also, if I recall right. But let's look at 2 Timothy 2:19, if we could. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is not so much lying, stealing, greed, gossip, such things as that. But it's going away from God. It's putting other things before God. Iniquity is lack of allegiance. We talked about allegiance and walking worthy early, I guess it was last week. But iniquity is lack of allegiance or loyalty or faithfulness to God. And I believe when God told Israel that he that endureth to the end shall be saved, he's talking about faithfulness to God. Not, you know, you missed the 611th law one time or something, you know. He's talking about their heart attitude toward God, allegiance and loyalty, not sinlessness. Because of the fact that, you know, he says when you've gone astray and you turn your heart to the Lord and are sorrowful, you know, back in, well, this would be at least one place is Leviticus 26:40-42. That very thing is happening. And we know it, Peter, James, John, the 12, when they wrote their epistles, one of them, during that time that was heading into, as far as they knew, into the tribulation, John writes, if we, Israelites, confess our sins, just like we were saying about in Leviticus there, John says, if we, Israelites, confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, Israel, our sins. Okay. So, they were to keep the law, yes, but there were provisions in the law for when a person would break a certain law, any one of those ordinances. And yet their heart's attitude, their heart's desire toward God or going away from God is what was important there. Hold on for just a minute, please. Sorry about that. One more thing to notice about 2 Timothy 2:19 is that the Lord knows you if you're his. He knows you, and you can know him, too, through his word. It's not a matter of looking up your name in a record book somewhere to find if you're, you know, if you ever believed the gospel of salvation. No, he knows you if you're his, and the Lord will never say to a saved person, like in Matthew 7:23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. No, he knows you. He can't say that he never knew you. Let's look at Romans 5:1 again. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's by faith. Your faith is not the cost of justification. Your justification was earned by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. By the way, if Calvary isn't in your Bible, in Luke 23:33 or anywhere else, it should be. Get a real Bible, one with all the words in it. And with no mistakes in it. Don't get the real Bible just to please me. Get it to please yourself. Because you can hear the actual pure words of God, preserved by God as he promised he would preserve it to you.